We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire. NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
1 second. Middleton.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch, and this is a classic Eurostep postgame pod because I'm here with the triumphant Rohan Kadi after the Bucks demolished the Miami Heat 132-198. What a game, what a night. Rohan, how's it going?
I am doing incredible. Today has been a fantastic day. I hooped for the first time in a while today. I got to see an absolute ass kicking from the Milwaukee Bucks.
What, for the first time?
I hooped.
I thought you said pooped. I was like, have you been constipated? Did we need to know that?
No, I was out there hooping for the first time in like a year. It was great. It's been a lovely day, and it was just the epitome of it was this game. It was just a triumphant win. That was a fitting adjective for you. Just an incredible performance from the Milwaukee Bucks.
It really was. I think heading out of game one, I mean, we were sighing for relief that the Bucks pulled it out. But I think we saw positive signs. I mean, both of our takes was Bucks in five after that. I think we may be reaching for the brooms a little bit now. Maybe
Bucks
you more than me. Yeah, you know, there's a case. So
they were chanting it. Pfizer was
good for them. Good for them. There's no reason not to right now after how this game went. And I think what we took away from game one was the Bucks shot unseasonably terrible. Giannis did not play particularly well, but that is a Heat game plan thing. The shooting wasn't a game plan thing. That was just bad luck, basically. The Bucks had some solid looks, just could not convert on them. The Giannis thing, maybe that's just a game plan, who knows? But on the flip side, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo were absolutely neutralized in game one. And the national narrative was kind of, oh, I don't know, if they're probably not going to play that bad again, so it's Milwaukee barely won. That's a little questionable. Our take was more like they got kind of strangled by the Bucks defense and the way Milwaukee threw Giannis, P.J. Tucker, and Drew Holiday at Jimmy Butler. Brooke Lopez doing amazing work on Bam Adebayo, choking away the painted area. That does seem a little bit sustainable. Turns out we were right. I think that, for me, was the story of this game. I think the shooting is going to get a lot of headlines, and it should. We'll get to Bryn Forbes just being absolute supernova, interior volcano, flamethrower, all the hot things. He was just called hot directly by Kevin Harlan. Who knows what he meant by that? But the defense on the Miami Heat's two best players, to me, was really what stood out about this game. And, Rohan, I think it's slander time. I'm going to unleash you. I know you have some thoughts. I know you have some takes. Tell us about Milwaukee just choking out Miami's offense.
So going into game two, like you had mentioned, Miami had realized, okay, the Bucks are really playing really off of Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. They are really trying their best to neutralize their two best players, as you should do as a coaching staff against a team who's a lesser opponent. You wanna take out their two best players because the rest of the team shouldn't be able to do anything. The first couple possessions of this game, we saw the Heat go directly to Bam Adebayo and try to get him going against Brook Lopez. Guess what, Ty? Did not work for the second consecutive game because Bam has no answer for Brook Lopez. None whatsoever. He can't score on him. He's clearly uncomfortable with this situation.
It's uncomfy.
It's very uncomfy. Very uncomfy for Bam down there. Or Idris, sorry. That's his first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. Whatever. It's that type of night.
Yeah.
They just made life uncomfortable for Bam again. He immediately bricked three shots and was like, okay, I'm not going to shoot again for the rest of the first quarter because I can't do anything.
He got pulled relatively early in that quarter, too. I think there was like 6 minutes left when he came out of the game and Dwayne Dedman went into the game. So I don't know if that's the usual rotation pattern or if that's kind of Spo, Eric Spoelstra, looking at this and going, it's not working right now. Let's turn it off and turn it back on and see if the Bam is providing better results later on.
And it's not just Bam. It was Jimmy again struggling from the field. Struggling, starts off 2 of 6 in the first quarter and 4 of 10 overall for the game. Just an absolute poor performance from both of Miami's supposedly star players. Just so bad. So bad. They can't do anything because they're trying to get to the rim and Milwaukee's like, okay, we're going to shut that down. We're shutting that down right away. And like, I'm sure you can talk about this. Jimmy just, he's not doing anything when he's driving. He's just ready to give it up.
He's pirouetting and just throwing the ball back out because, I mean, I did a poll on Twitter. Would you rather be guarded by a stream of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Drew Holiday, PJ Tucker with Brook Lopez manning the second line of defense or go directly to hell? Hell won by like a 90-10 margin. People would rather go to hell than deal with what Jimmy Butler is putting up with. That said, though, when you're supposedly a superstar player in the NBA, there can't really be excuses for back-to-back games like this. I mean, Giannis has caught so much heat for scoring like 35 points total in back-to-back games. Jimmy Butler put up 10. What did he put up in game one? Like 12, 14, 15?
17.
17. Oh, okay. So
do you want to know what Jimmy's stats are through two games?
He's currently
13.5 points per game, 25% from the field, 22.2% from three, and a minus 42 overall.
See, I've talked about this with Giannis in the past. Like, there's games when if the Bucks lose the Giannis minutes by a lot, it just feels like you're toast. Like, everything is untenable. Like, you cannot win sustainably if you just get shellacked with your best player out there. The fact that the Bucks have just hung buckets on Jimmy buckets, ironically, in his minutes in both games is such a bad sign for the Miami Heat. It was much worse in this game. I think Miami's defense of him was fine-tuned, and they took away the one adjustment that Spo had made, or at least the one thing that was working for Miami against the drop coverage. But clearly, Brook Lopez and the Bucks used to play in this drop. I mean, we argued, should they even bother with drop at all? Should they just switch 24-7? Turns out I'm taking the L here. We have our answer. The drop still has some uses, namely against this team and against the team they'd probably run into in the conference finals if they can get past Brooklyn and, of course, close this thing out. But there are still some uses for this drop.
The Wizards? You're gonna run drop against the Wizards?
Yeah, I think you could drop against Daniel Gay. You could definitely drop against Russell Westbrook, that's for sure. But potentially Philly if they get there as well. Your favorite bit.
I guess they have a chance.
Your favorite bit right there. But Jimmy and Bam, it's not even that they're bad 3-point shooters. They just refuse. Combined 0-for-0 from deep in this game. And we expect this from Adebayo. But Jimmy Butler talked about taking a bunch of threes, if that's what he had to do. What, did he attempt 7 in game one?
9.
9 attempted threes?
2 of 9 from three in game one. And afterwards, like you had just mentioned, he had talked about that's unseasonably high for him. He does not like to shoot a lot of threes, especially in this regular season. He did not. And so 9 attempts was a bit of an outlier for him. And he talked post-game about how Milwaukee is giving him these opportunities. And yeah, that's what we've been talking about. They definitely are. They're daring him to do it. And he said, yeah, if that's what they're giving me, I'll go take it. You're not taking it.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie. Ben Simmons-esque from deep for Jimmy Butler right now. I mean, he's on the perimeter running the offense, setting up his pick and rolls and dribble handoffs or whatever. And when he's wide open beyond the arc, he doesn't even look at the rim, man. Like, that's how you know. That's how, if you're playing drop coverage, there is nothing more comfortable than when the player doesn't even think about it. Like, there is no hesitation that is the right defensive scheme in that situation, because it's like, of course he's not going to make a three. He's not even going to look at trying to shoot a three. I'm just going to wait back here and see what happens. And more often than not, it was good for the Bucks. So the one adjustment I talked about, and I want you to go into this because you were all over this in the game one post-game pod. You're all over it again. But the issue with the drop was Duncan Robinson. So the Heat were having Bam Adebayo's man screen for Duncan and running the dribble handoffs that they love so much and everything else. And
which
Bam,
are illegal screens every
Bam
time.
Bam illegally screaming his behind. What do you have? One personal foul in this game. Probably drew like 5 on the Bucks for illegally screening. Milwaukee needs to send a tape of this. They have a couple days until game 3. Send a tape of that to the league office. It's absolutely ridiculous. But
league office having a tough time out here today, especially with this Portland-Denver game.
Also, the LeBron thing.
Oh, yeah. It's just a tough look.
It's an awful, awful look.
At NBA official, if you were wondering.
Down stocks. But, but that was working for Miami. They were springing those shooters. But go into the Bucks adjustment and how that carried over from later game one into all of game two.
Yeah, so initially, like you mentioned, in game one, Duncan Robinson was getting a quick good looks really easy, and everyone was panicking right off the bat, like, oh no, it's going to happen again, because Duncan Robinson had the Heat's first 9 points on 3 threes, and that's because they were running deep drop with Brook Lopez. So what the Bucks did to adjust to that situation is if there was a weak side defender, they would come and help if the guy who was defending Duncan Robinson couldn't get over the screen, or if it was on an empty side action, they would just trap them. So then you're just forcing Duncan Robinson to pass the ball to Bam, who's going to struggle to score because he's Bam Adebayo. And you're just going to get that neutralized right away. So that's a way that Milwaukee is still able to run that drop scheme and still contest those shooters in Duncan Robinson and Goran Dragic mainly in these two games. So you're managing to keep that drop scheme, which is really working against Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and you're neutralizing the shooters. So Milwaukee has turned one of their most exploitable tactics in the drop scheme into one of their most effective. And that is getting into my hot take that I had teased on Twitter.
Ooh, which is the hot take.
The hot take is that the Milwaukee Bucks have the coaching advantage so far in this series.
That was the flashpoint. My room just exploded from the heat of the take. Elaborate. Enhance.
We've only seen 2 games, right? It's only been 2 games.
Well, actually, you know, some people would say the Bucks are up 4-0 because they've beat the Heat and the officials twice in this series.
Oh, you're
but
right.
But technically,
right.
The league is only going to count it as 2 games. So, yes, correct.
Yeah, so they're up 2-0 right now. The Heat have gotten a lot of different looks. They've tried to attack this Bucks scheme in a lot of different ways. And every single time that Miami does something, Bud has a counter right away. He has a counter right away, and it's absolutely neutralizing anything Miami wants to do. Lineups you want to talk about, defensive schemes, offensive schemes, which way your players are going to get into their own actions. Every single thing that Miami is trying to exploit, Bud has been right on it. And credit where credit is due. Coach Budenholzer has outcoached Eric Spoelstra so far. We've been some of Coach Budenholzer's biggest critics over 100%. The past 2 years.
100%.
Past 2 years, which is why we have to give him his flowers now. This is incredible.
I think you've used the term before. It's been a masterclass, and I think I still stand by that. You know, if all things are equal roster wise, Spoelstra's probably got the upper hand, but Bud has the better roster. Bud has arguably the best player in the world. Two other all-star level players, even if the league is going to be frivolous and have Chicago have two all-stars and Indiana have two all-stars and all those all-stars are sitting on their damn couches now. So you could argue how good they actually are. Indiana's got like 10 guys that everyone loves, but, you know, couch bound. I digress.
It's okay. Their coach doesn't like them. So
Nick Nurse disciples joining Nick Nurse on the couch this year. Anyway, I digress.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bucks are more talented, so you don't need to be this absolute overthinking coaching maestro. And one of the things I was most, I don't want to say worried about, because I never think Twitter will impact Bud. If there's one thing about Bud, Bud is going to do Bud. I don't think Bud cares about the quarterback.
Except for what we say.
Yeah, he listens, yeah, of course, except for us. But anything else, no. But there was all this talk about how that was the focus of this series, aside from, you know, Chuck saying easy Bucks win, and like I mentioned before, the oh, well, this happened and this happened, so it actually is bad for the Bucks that they won, which is like, re-examine.
Type saying they look beatable after game one.
Re-examine your takes if winning a game is bad, but
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcast.
But I think what one of the main narrative or storylines was going to be how is Miami going to adjust to what Milwaukee did, and then how can Milwaukee adjust to that? And my whole point was, you should have counters ready to counters, and we've seen some of those come out, but they should be minor, and the Bucks should absolutely force Miami to beat what they've been doing before they switch, which namely means the drop, right? That's the tactic. Giannis and then sometimes Drew and PJ on Jimmy, Brooke Lopez on Bam Adebayo, drop, don't give them anything in the paint. And now the adjustment was, also take away shooters. So even if you're going to lose someone on the back end, that's fine. If you cover up Dragic and Duncan Robinson, TBH, you're not worried about anybody else in this team shooting. Nobody else is inspiring true fear from beyond the arc. It's just those two guys, and mostly it's just Duncan. And the Heat can play them together.
No, I'm scared of Dragic.
I'm scared of it, but Duncan's a different level. I think we can agree. It's a different level. Dragic has come up. I know.
Dragic shoots like 10,000% against the Bucks.
Well, you know, he was.
Not tonight.
Yeah, I was going to 1-for-5 tonight. But Point taken. But if you play them both together, you're giving up a lot defensively, for sure. Although, maybe not so much, because I think some of the quote-unquote defenders on this Heat team aren't actually all that good at defense. We'll get there. But
there's defenders on this team?
Jimmy and Bam, who can't do anything on the other end. But, you know, the Bucks in this game were not giving Duncan Robinson or Goran Dragic any space. And they basically said, if we lose someone for a second, fine. Like, we'll shift and recover, and we'll get enough of a barrier between whatever other player in the rim that they're going to be uncomfy. We're not going to let you guys get the bailout threes. Because that was Miami's offense in game one, was like, nothing is happening, nothing is working. Oh, Duncan has a bit of space. That's a three. Okay, we got points. Game two, the Bucks said, well, that's not happening. You're going to have to beat the drop. We're not going to let you get these bailout three-pointers anymore. Duncan Robinson attempts six threes after making seven threes in game one. He only makes two of them. Miami had no offense. I mean, the pace of this game was out of control. The Bucks put up 132 points, raining down threes. And we will talk about the Bucks players. I just wanted to start with what I think was the masterclass, is how they handled Miami's offensive players. But the Heat only scored 98 points despite this insane pace. Less than double what the Bucks put up in the first quarter, Miami managed. Bucks have a 46-point first quarter. Miami manages 98 overall. My math might have been wrong on that, but it was pretty close, at least. It was close. It was close. My math was wrong on that. I'll take the L. But it's just a dominant defensive performance where the Heat could not get comfortable. They could not get replicable good looks. And you just can't win like that against this Bucks team. Even if they're just having a solid shooting game, much less the kind of the way they shot in this, you know, in game two. But even an average shooting game, it's closer, but it's still going to be a Bucks win if Miami's getting absolutely no good offense.
For sure. And another thing to add to what you were saying about they're trying to work off of these shooters, they're also putting them in the blender on the other end of the court. They are hunting for them on the other end of the court, making them work, tire them out on the defensive end. If they want to run around screens, do their fun stuff on offense, like, sure, they're going to have to work on defense too. That's what Milwaukee's trying to do out here. Every time Drew Holiday gets inside position on Dragic, on Kendrick Nunn, he is putting them in the basket right away. Right away. Chris Middleton sees Duncan Robinson on him. Okay, I'm going to go dunk on you, which, by the way, I don't think we appreciated that. Like, Chris off the dribble dunking in the playoff game? Like, what's going on?
Chris Middleton was 4-for-5 from the field in this game. Terrific all-around game. 17 points. He knew he didn't need to be a primary scorer, so he didn't worry about it. He just made his looks in traffic, which usually you'd get on him in a game like this, totally fine. He, in those four makes, felt like he sunned Duncan Robinson like 20 times. I was expecting to look at the box score and see, like, 10 for 13, not 4 for 5. He clearly established some dominance in that matchup, and it's one of those where Miami doesn't have that many options. If Duncan's going to play, he's probably going to have to guard somebody good or be one screen away from guarding somebody good. And as you mentioned, to segue into this, the Bucks are finding where these guys are and just hunting them, and that's what you absolutely need to do against a team like this. But I will say, it's almost hard not to now, because pretty much anybody not named Jimmy or Bam is looking, and Iguodala too, is looking like meat to this Bucks team on defense.
Even Bam is getting disrespected.
Yeah. I mean, isoing him away from the basket is the worst, but when the Bucks get in the paint, they're not having that much trouble with him.
No, they're not. They're just bigger than him. Yeah. Like, sure.
Brook Lopez is not impeded whatsoever.
No, like, one of the reasons like Bam is really successful as a center has been, I wouldn't say he's been successful so far. Well, he hasn't. Like, it's a certifiable fact that he's been buns for the past two games.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. One of the reasons he's been successful and has this reputation of not being buns, even though he is that he's been a solid, stocky defender and can hang down there. And that's why he's been like the Heat primary center. Like, they've just not had to have a primary center on the floor. They've completely leaned into that after finally leaning into it last season during the fake playoff run. It does, like you're saying, he's not impeded by Brook Lopez. Like, Brook Lopez is a massive human being, deceptively long, as you love to say.
It's true.
Just just absolutely successful. I'm going to let the listeners know that I'm currently watching Ty fight a bug right now.
Dude, it's like fruit fly. I've had like three fruit flies orbiting me. It's very disorienting, but well, you know, we're coming out on top.
The fruit flies are like Bam Adebayo and Brook Lopez is you.
Yeah, just
in this situation
mashing, because you're just mashing,
just mashing, going over them. You're so much bigger than them. They are not impeding you. And that is what Brook Lopez is doing to Bam. He's getting rebounds over him. Giannis is sunning him on the boards. It's just not good. It's not a good look for Bam.
One thing we probably should talk about that we haven't enough, and I'm glad we're getting to the Bucks now, so it can certainly keep going on Brook Lopez, where he talks about Chris. I got some slander for a Heat player or two. We'll save that for a little while. I want to talk Bucks. This is a Milwaukee Bucks podcast network. But the rebounding differential in this series has been brutal. I know game one, it was a wide gulf as well. I don't have the number in front of me. But game two, Miami pulls in 36 rebounds. The Bucks pull in 61, including 21 offensive boards. They had nearly as many offensive rebounds as Miami had defensive rebounds. And clearly, the Bucks having a good shooting night helps with that. And notice I'm saying good, not like generational. They ended up shooting 48, 41, 90, which is like...
I mean, they did make a playoff franchise record in threes.
Yeah, but it's like... But they shot a ton. They took 53.
Yeah, I mean, and 10 of them came in the first quarter.
Yeah, 41% is good. Don't get me wrong, it's above average, but what is their average, like 39?
I can share.
38, 39, it's got to be something like that. They're a good shooting team. I mean, Giannis drags it down like 3 points himself.
Currently, for the Milwaukee Bucks, their 2020-2021 regular season, they are shooting. What are they shooting? Why is this not easy to find? 38.9% from three.
So they shot 3% higher, less 2.5%. That's it. Like, it's noticeable when you're talking about a lot of three-point attempts, but it's not a crazy outlier. I mean, 2.5%, that's not a ton. They shot 16% in game one. That's a lot more of an outlier than this game was. It comes down to what? One made three difference, just about? Maybe two?
Yeah, around there.
So take off 6 points, and it's 126-98. Like, it's still an ass-kicking, just the same. So I do think there's a lot more than three-point shooting variance. I think it's more important to look at the Bucks getting 53 good looks, Miami getting 28 not-so-good looks. That is more important, I think, and that has more to do with the rebounding because the Bucks are getting extra possession after extra possession. Again, 21 offensive rebounds. I mean, there's some on the same play, sure, but that's like 20 extra plays to find these shooters. And I feel like offensive rebounds often lead to really good looks from three because the defense is collapsing or sometimes trying to leak out early or just not set. So the Bucks are absolutely abusing. This is something we talked about in the game one post game, the win in six collab pod. Miami's bigs stink. Like Bam is clearly the best one, or maybe not. Maybe not. Dwayne Dedman had himself a night tonight, although he still had a crazy bad plus minus because he just gets filleted every time on defense. But he scored. At least he scored. He did something out there. A couple good fouls. But
Bam.
That's true. But the big rotation for Miami is just terrible. Like, for Trevor Ariza at the four, this guy stinks. This guy's cooked. This guy playing dirty with Giannis, tackling Giannis like he's trying out for Packers OTAs because he knows there's an Aaron Rodgers roster spot coming up soon. 0 for 3 from the field, 0 points, pushing up off Giannis like a badass.
There's more flagrant fouls than points in this game.
It's a factual. Like, this guy is upset that Giannis is delivering him a George Gervin, Michael Jordan moment. It's basically saying, you're done, old man, go sit down, and Gervin did. Like, that really happened, by the way. Jordan's a psycho. But that is spiritually happening with Giannis and Trevor Ariza right now, and he's trying to resist, but it's like, hang it up, dude. I know the game one, the broadcast said, he brings championship experience, having won it in 2009 and being on a lot of good teams since then, a.k.a. not doing it again since then. Maybe he should have just hung it up back in like 2009. I mean, there's nothing good coming after that.
We call that a David West. Do you know what I'm referring to? David West said he knew it was time to hang it up when Josh Hart, he couldn't back down Josh Hart. He was like, yeah, I got to retire, man.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza should, I mean, like, don't show up for game three, my guy.
Yeah, nope. You said it's Giannis' fault that Trevor, like, Giannis is telling Trevor Ariza. I think it's also, like, the Heat, because he was brought in to be a Jay Crowder replacement, but he can't do either of the three things that Jay Crowder could do. Like, he's not a tough guy. He's a very tough guy.
Nope.
He can't hit threes, and he can't play defense. So you're doing everything the exact opposite of what the Heat brought you in to do, and you're just a bum, too.
I can't believe he's making dirty plays. I mean, I don't want to say I get it, but clearly it's the frustration of knowing it.
I mean, yeah, when you're just getting everything handed to you and you realize your career's over, like, I'd get a little frustrated.
You know you're down real bad when you're like, I just need to be James Ennis to fulfill the role that is here for me on this team, and you're reaching as far deep in the tank as you can go in, you know, a crucial playoff game. And you can't get to James Ennis. You can't get to late stage James Ennis on the Orlando Magic. James Ennis was playing better than Trevor Ariza. That's for damn sure. But that's enough about Ariza and just bad. But Miami's big rotation, it's not good, right? Like that's their starting four. I can't believe for nearly 20 minutes of this game they were still like, hey, you want to try and guard Giannis, Trevor? I would be like trying to commit fouls on the Heat players at this point, like. Why are you making me do this? I clearly cannot do this anymore, if ever, probably ever, but certainly not in the last decade.
There was points where they switched, like, I forget who it was it Jimmy or Bam, one of the two on the Giannis, and then he was cooking. So they're like, okay, Trevor, go back. And then the first possession he's back guarding Giannis, he just fouls him right away. And you could see it just muttering under his breath, like, what's going on?
Yeah, what's the point here? But their big rotations, Trevor Ariza, Bam Adebayo, starting 4-5, and then it's Deadman and Iguodala is the rest. So it's like, keeping score, it's not very many good or complete players. And certainly, just like, the size matters. Deadman is an undersized center, isn't he? Isn't he like 6'9"?
Maybe he's
6'11". Maybe he's 6'11", but he's not huge. He's certainly not Brook Lopez size, and he's not getting up over Giannis.
He's a 7-footer.
He's a 7-footer, really?
Yeah.
I wonder who I'm thinking of. But he didn't rebound. Oh, I guess he had 9 boards. Not bad. But he only played 21 minutes because he's getting absolutely cooked. So when Deadman's not in, especially, there's just no size. Like, Bam is a small center. Bam is more of a 4-5. Trevor Ariza is, again, like, a non-entity at this point. Like, Casper the Friendly Ghost out there. And then Iguodala is, like, he's truly a small forward who plays power forward because he can't shoot. But he's not going to grab a billion rebounds. He grabbed 4 in 14 minutes. But again, they can't afford to play their other quote-unquote bigs because they just don't contribute enough either defensively for Deadman, offensively for Iguodala, or at literally anything in the case of Ariza. So, like, they're getting mashed on the boards. And that's, like, Brook Lopez has been excellent in drop, and I'm glad that that's getting the coverage it deserves. But he's been boxing out, too, and, like, these other Bucks have been rebounding really well, including
Dante,
the guards.
Especially.
Dante has 7. Drew Holiday has 7. Giannis has 13. Bobby Portis has 5. Bryn Forbes has 5. Like, the whole Bucks were getting in on rebounding on both ends. And, you know, it's just like compounding factors for the Heat. Like, their offense is getting shut down. They were giving up good looks to shooters. And we're going to go into why they really had no choice but to do that. And now they're giving up extra possessions. So you're already losing the math battle. You're already sledding uphill on offense. You're trying to keep up with the Bucks offense. You pretty much have to play defensive liabilities to try and keep up with the Bucks offense. And now you're giving that offense extra possessions. Like, that is the formula for this kind of ass-kicking. It didn't take shooting 60% from three. It just took dominating this Heat team at every facet of basketball, besides officiating, which the Bucks have no control over. Shouts to Mark Davis. But everything within the control of the teams, the Bucks were just much better at. That's how you get a result like this.
Yeah, that's getting to my earlier point about the Bucks having the coaching advantage in the series. It's just music to my ears at this point, honestly. You got to take the victory laps when you can, because when this inevitably comes to, you know, or maybe not. I'm not going to say that.
I was going to say, we're getting there in the middle of this pod of all pods.
No. It's not. What should we talk about next year? Let's talk You mentioned it. Let's talk about why Milwaukee was getting such good looks on offense.
Yeah.
So we come into this game, and one, we should say, yes, the Bucks did shoot really well from three in that first quarter. Like, that was great. 10 of 15, I believe, from three in one quarter, which kind of sealed the game right then and there.
Yeah, it helps. It helps,
but it's not entirely unsustainable from a game perspective. Like, you talked about this. I mentioned this. The raw shooting numbers alone, we've already mentioned, are sustained. It's a little bit sustainable, but they're getting good looks, and that's because Milwaukee is getting such attention from Miami when they have primary actions involving their big three. And what does that do? That leaves guys like Bryn Forbes, like Pat Connaughton, like Bobby Portis to get good looks because Miami is so focused on Chris Middleton, on Giannis Antetokounmpo, on Drew Holiday, and deservedly so. Like, if you don't give those guys attention, each one of them will rip your head off. Like, each one of them is capable of single-handedly beating this Miami Heat team. So, and if you have all three of them on the court at once, which Milwaukee did for large stretches of this game, you're not going to win that battle unless you're giving up threes to these auxiliary players. And what happens when you do that? You get a flamethrower like Bryn Forbes lighting your ass up. You get Bobby Portis getting buckets. You get Pat Connaughton actually making threes for the first time in a while, which is a great sight to see. You get these sort of looks. And what are you supposed to do? Not give attention to Chris, Giannis, and Drew? No, because again, they will kill you. So this is the problem that Miami faces. And this is why I'm saying the series is over.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and it's not just because they're up 2-0. Obviously, there was a series 2 years ago where that happened, but the circumstances were so much different. And it's not even just that this was a blowout win. It's deeper than that. That's why we're diving into why these things happened. And again, like, if you're paying close attention to this, I invite you, tell me what changes for Miami to win four games out of the next six. I don't see it. I don't know what happens possibly to turn this around to that. That's realistic. To turn this series around. The Bucks are simply dominating every facet of basketball. Even if Miami wrestles back one of them, it's probably not enough. Not enough to win four times in six games, that's for sure. I mean, the margin is so small now. If the Bucks have one more strong shooting performance in Miami, it's going to get tough really fast. It might get
that's
tough
why they made the NBA record of threes. It was in Miami, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. At least against Miami, I know that. So you talked about it's not that much of an outlier shooting performance. You want to hear something funny?
Yeah, of course.
It was 0.2% better than their average field goal shooting performance. So basically right on. That is a little skewed because they took a ton of threes, of course. But I thought it was funny that they basically shot what they always shoot from the field. And it just like... It wasn't that much of an outlier. They just took a lot of threes. It felt like they made a ton.
They played at their pace. Like, that's what really matters here. They played at their pace. They got bogged down in game one.
Yep.
Like, Miami loves to play really slow, and the Bucks kind of played into that a bit in game one. Nah, they didn't. They came out of the gates. They asserted their dominance. Like, they were like, okay, we are dictating this game. Like, we talked about this on the preview pod. Like, Jimmy Butler has... He's shown previously in altered situations, altered circumstances, that he can potentially control some games in a LeBron-esque style. We have not seen that at all from Jimmy Butler. Like I said, just absolutely peak performance from Jimmy Butler these last two games. Stupidly locked in, by the way, Jimmy Butler. He's ready for the playoffs. The Miami Heat wanted this matchup, by the way, Ty.
Should have been smartly locked in maybe instead.
There we go. But yeah, Milwaukee, they were the ones who dictated the pace. And when they play fast and they get a ton of shots up and they can actually shoot at their normal percentage, it's over. Like, Miami allegedly has a good defense and Milwaukee just put up 132 points.
They don't have enough good defensive players. And that's just, and they don't have enough good players, full stop. And that's going to be, that's the real reason. I mean, strategy aside, the talent disparity is just vast. I mean, the Bucks. 9-man rotation. Worst guy by far, Pat. Sure, you can say what you want to say. Bryn Forbes, Bobby Portis, PJ Tucker are just more useful on both ends than Andre Iguodala, Dwayne Dedmon. Dragic is pretty good. I'll give you that. He's more of a one-way player. He's got some juice defensively, but he's pretty good. But the rest of this bench, and then even some of the starters, like Kendrick Nunn.
You forgot not included for a James Harden or Kyle Lowry trade, Mr. Tyler Hero.
You mean worse Dante? Is that who you're talking about?
I think that is who I'm talking
worse
about.
Worse Dante?
We know how we felt about Dante.
Well, there's no question because one of them's bad at defense and offense, and the other one's just inconsistent. Tyler Hero, 1-for-5, looking more lost than his dad trying to find the correct bathroom in Fiserv. But
I can't believe that's the thing that happened.
I'm just going with Twitter on that one. Kendrick Nunn, the drop killer, is what I saw him refer to it in some Miami Heat pregame, pre-series reading materials. Kendrick Nunn, difference maker, the drop killer. He honored Milwaukee by shooting 4-for-14 from the field in this game. It was a minus 20. He can't play defense. Like
4-1-4, baby.
You're giving up so much when your team is this bad. Like, I don't think they can start Nunn or Ariza again. They're just not good enough.
They're going to, though.
Well, they're going to, or they're going to, like, their starters are going to play like 40 minutes, and I don't know who's going to fill in the minutes. Like, you could play if they want to. Then the adjustment eventually is going to be either one or both of Dragic and Dedmon starting, but like, okay, really?
If you start Dedmon, one, he's going to get put in a blender every single time on the defensive end. Like, they are.
That has been happening. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. That has been happening every time Dwayne Dedmon is on the court. No matter how effective he is on the offensive end, he's giving back those points on the defensive end because they are running high screen and roll involving Dedmon's guy every single possession. And I mentioned this earlier, but this is one of the biggest differences between last year and this year's Bucks team, and it gets back to the coaching thing. They are hunting on defense. They really are. And that starts with Dwayne Dedmon. So if you do that, not only are you giving someone, another person, for the Bucks to hunt on the defensive end, you're also giving Jimmy and Bam less spacing. And they already suck with the spacing they have.
Somehow less spacing. Dedmon, I just looked since the beginning of last season across three different teams, in 984 regular season minutes has made 23 three-pointers. 23 for 112, shooting 20.5% over the last two regular seasons, 60-game sample there. I think he was 1-for-2 in this game. That's found money for Miami. 8-for-11 from the field. Overall, strong game, cleaning
anything
up.
Anything Dwayne Dedmon has found money.
Dwayne Dedmon showing up and literally not being a dead man has found money. But surprisingly, he had the most life of all, ironically, the most life of the entire Miami Heat team. But it's like, if that's the adjustment, the guys who have played the best stardom, sure. Dragic, Robinson, Butler, Bam, Dedmon. Again, like spacing-wise, somehow even worse. Defense-wise, Dedmon, good luck, buddy. Don't know who Dedmon's guarding. I guess Lopez and Bam on Giannis. I don't know. If they do that, then Dragic and Robinson are going to end up. One of them is going to be on Drew or Chris, and that's lunch meat for those two guys. I want to talk about Drew in a second. But the big problem is your bench, if you do that, is Kendrick Nunn, Trevor Ariza, Andre Iguodala, Tyler Harrow, Nemanja Bjelica, that's all you have. So your reserves in that situation are just going to get absolutely filleted, like filet mignon.
Udonis Haslam?
If you need 2 minutes and one ejection, I mean, the Heat are probably
He probably won't even get ejected if it's Mark Davis.
That's true. Well, I mean, hey, they were playing for ejections more than wins for most of the game,
too. Two flagrants and one dead ball technical in one quarter. Heat culture, baby.
Heat culture, baby. Bucks culture is superior culture. But I want to talk about Drew Holiday. Speaking of Bucks culture, re-signed already, Drew Holiday. But I think you could look at some of this box
score. I forgot about that the other day. I remembered that. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome.
But life is good right now. Life is pretty good right now. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, 5-for-12 from the field, 11 points for Drew. You could just look at that and be like, oh, I don't know about that. But even the box score can't fully hide how great he is. 15 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. Team best, plus 37. And I say in every pod when I cite game one game plus minus that single game plus minus is incredibly noisy. And it's true. However, in the playoffs, you kind of just have to go with some noisy stuff sometimes. I'm not saying it's the end-all be-all, but I do think it is worth noting when there's an extreme plus minus in a playoff game. Even if you can explain it away as not being that player's fault, you only get so many shots in series. You get, you know, four losses max to be act more, even more precise. So the single game plus minus I look at just a little bit more. It's not indicative in itself of anything, but this one was fitting that Drew was plus 37 despite scoring 11 points on 12 shots. 15 assists really underscores the fact that he was able to over and over and over penetrate into the heart, the soft underbelly of that Miami defense. And unlike Jimmy Butler, who got into the Bucks defense a little bit and said, hell no, no thanks, and just whipped it back out, Drew is finding open shooters and open cutters left and right, setting those players up with great looks, and they were knocking them down. He was clinical in this game. He brought the same defense as always, but man, oh man, was his passing beautiful.
Do you know how difficult it is to be like a plus 22 in under 7 minutes of an NBA game? Like,
wait,
that's difficult.
When was that?
Like 6 minutes and 25 seconds. Like, that's how much Drew Holiday needed to play to be a plus 22.
In what quarter?
Like, the first quarter.
Oh, I'm not shocked. How many assists did he have? Seven assists in that quarter?
Seven assists in the first quarter. Like, again, single game plus minus, super noisy. That's it. That says something. That is a meaningful.
He was out there.
Meaningful.
He was out there, and they put up a blowout for a whole game margin of victory in 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And you mentioned not the greatest shooting night for him. Like, what did he end up? 5 of 12 shooting, I believe.
Yeah,
5 of 12 shooting. 1 of 4 from three. Not shooting the ball well from three. So far in this series.
1 for 9. Bucks have positive regression coming, not negative regression, folks.
They do. Yes. But he's also an absolute freaking psycho on the defensive end of the floor. Like, he takes it personally every time someone full court presses him. There was an instance in the third quarter or late second quarter when the Heat were like, okay, I guess we still have to pretend we're in this a little bit, where Kendrick Nunn and I think it was Duncan Robinson or Goran Dragic were sort of pressuring him in the backcourt and sort of trapping him. And he was like, nah, I'm getting out of this and I'm making this a 5-on-3 for my team. And then when you come back on the other end, I'm going to take the ball from you consecutively to make you ever full court press me again. Like, this man is a psycho. So it's fine if he's – and like you said, there's positive regression coming for him.
He's got some step backs coming soon. I think, honestly, game 3 or 4, I mean, we're going to talk sweep. We're going to look at sweep. But the true fact –
how could you
matter,
not at this point?
For sure. But the true fact –
I mean, it's over anyway. Sorry, go ahead.
You win either one of these and the series is basically over. You're up at worst 3-1, heading back to Fiserv. Obviously, 3-1 has not always worked for every team, but it's a pretty damn good place to be, especially because just all the evidence of the series so far. But one positive regression, Drew Holiday 4 for 6 from deep on 3 step-backs game. That's going to be super hard for Miami to overcome the way they've struggled offensively. So Drew Holiday, both ends. I mean, I think the way to say it best, none of this is possible without Drew.
None of this is possible because he's going to destroy Kendrick Nunn.
anyone they put on him.
Sorry, the pun was there. I had to take it. Jordan's already rubbing off him.
Oh, yeah, he is. Shouts to Adam and Jordan, always. But let's talk about Giannis for a little bit. I think – certainly a nice bounce back game for him. It seems like the arm is good, although he did wear the shooting sleeve again.
And it looked great.
Yeah, it's a good accessory. The shooting touch not there, 1 for 7 from deep. I think, I don't know.
He made his first one and then he's like, nah.
Well, I wonder if he would have taken so many. Well, A, if it wasn't a blowout, and B, like, it must have just felt like, I want to get in on this party. Everyone's splashing threes. I want to get in on this too, but didn't work for him. But 11 for 16 from everywhere else, which is pretty good, it turns out. 6 for 7 from free throw, all we're going to say about that. 13 rebounds, including 6 offensive, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 2 turnovers, plus 19, 31 points for the Greek Freak. Even with the 1 for 7 from deep, 31 points on 23 shots. Not too shabby for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can I tell you my favorite Giannis thing of this series so far?
Please do.
It's this newfound tendency when a player he's guarding is posted up in the paint surveying, and namely it's Jimmy Butler, all of a sudden, and I don't think he's done this very often, if ever. I mean, part of it is because he's always been off ball, but Giannis is like reaching all the way around like Doc Ock and just stabbing the basketball out of Jimmy Butler. It's happened several times this season.
Yes, I'm glad you brought this up.
It's like so unfair because that's such a thing in offenses, right? It's like getting to the paint a little bit, then let me stop, let me think about it, let me find somebody. If you take too long to make that decision and Giannis is guarding you, he's just going to knock the ball out. And for someone who picks up a lot of fouls, most of them BS, he's done a great job of being excessively clean about doing this and not getting whistled. And I just think like that makes his suffocating on-ball defense that much scarier. You're not even safe if you're posted up. That's like the no handles or like, you know, dribble picked up safe space, right?
The
like,
Jimmy Butler.
That's my – when my handles were even worse and I played, you would see me posting up behind three because otherwise I'm getting my pocket picked. So let me just post up and find someone to pass you. That should be the safe space. Nothing is safe against Giannis Antetokounmpo. He will reach all the way around you and knock the basketball out to a Bucks fast break that's probably ending in a great corner three. The guy is a menace, great on both ends, love to see the bounce back, shoot a couple less threes next time, but – everything else was looking
good. Yeah, it's fine. I don't know. If you're putting up numbers like that, it is a blowout. Why not?
Seven's
like,
too many. Seven's too many.
I don't know. A little bit. It's fun. Like, Mando's out here doing keepy ups after getting absolutely decked by Bielitsa. Like, that's one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen. Like, all of the Heat players are being their fake tough selves and trying to fake fight. And then Man's just out here, like, playing soccer. Like, he's having the time of his life.
Like, just vibing. Good vibes.
It's incredible. Like, it comes off adorable. I think he is trying to be disrespectful, but in a playful way. And it's definitely working.
I would be super upset, dude. Like, you're selling out to stop this guy. It's not working. Your whole team is mad. Goran Dragic is trying to put Chris Middleton in a leg lock. Everything else.
And then has the audacity to complain about it. And then it gets reviewed, and it's the whole Nikias. Yeah, there's Phil. We saw you. Like,
but it's a foul still assessed on Chris Middleton out of that.
Yeah, they can't take that back, I don't think.
Oh, stupid. But all this happening, though, and Giannis is just like just kicking the ball around, having a good time with the mates, everything else. It's great. I still think we're going to see one.
Signed the Supermax, by the way, in case y'all forgot.
He did indeed sign the Supermax. I still think we have one even better than this Giannis game in this series. But TBD on that. We're getting pretty lofty. Who else should we talk about before we wrap up?
Let's talk about Bobby Portis.
Speaking of the Heat being punks to Giannis, was that Bielitsa?
Yes, it was.
Knocks over Giannis and is standing awfully close. Might be a standover, probably not a step over, but, you know, one of those, like, stand near and kind of look down on situations. Bobby Portis said, hell no, gets right up in there, extends the arm. Gets everything in front of mama. He probably imagined Bielitsa punching mama. That's how Bobby Portis.
No, she was at the game.
Well, no, I know, but in his mind, he's getting punched. Sure. But extends the arm, says, hell no. No one is staring down at Giannis. Not tonight. Not ever. He gets a tech, which is BS, but totally worth it. But I just love a good enforcer. I think that was perfect enforcer. Sometimes it can come off corny a little bit. This was not corny. That was all business. Just like, no. Like, get out of
there. Bobby Portis will fight you.
Oh, yes. Ask Miritich about it. But
look at Bobby Portis. Stare into Bobby Portis' eyes and ask him if you're gonna fight him.
They called him crazy eyes on the TNT broadcast. It's a little disrespectful, but I get the point. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
I think it was Reggie.
Ah, of course it was.
Heard more disrespectful on national broadcasts. May I remind you about Mark Jackson?
May I remind you of TNT turning off the game?
I'd hit that out of the park, no disrespect.
Oh my God, yeah.
People forget that happened. I will not let the nation forget
about that.
This man was talking about LeBron James' wife and said those words.
That's just
he said no disrespect. Like, okay. That's not how that works. You can't just say.
Yeah. At least, like, Jeff Van Gundy's, like, wholesome about it. It's like, I'm sorry, but Rihanna just walked behind me and stuff. Like, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Mark Jackson's just straight up. That's out of pocket.
That's out of pocket.
Yeah. Like, TNT has straight up turned off a Bucks game, though.
Yeah. I said you knew it was an occasion because the TNT showed the full game when they broke a 3-point record.
Yeah.
Doesn't always happen when the Bucks break a 3-point record. That's how you know it's a really special one.
TNT's 1-for-2 now.
Shooting a lot better percentages in Miami, that's for sure.
For sure. Definitely more than Jimmy and Bam. But yeah, Bobby Portis, he was great. And in addition to being an excellent enforcer out there on the court, he was actually producing two of three from three. He was getting in on it. Just doing what we thought he could do in this situation. And, of course, his benchmate, we talked about it up top, Bryn Forbes, absolute masterclass, absolute shooting masterclass. 0-3 is not going to stop this man. This man is the human torch, except an actual good version and not the Chris Evans and whatever.
Oh, man, it's rough.
The Michael B. Jordan.
The Michael B. Jordan movie, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Don't watch
it. I've never seen it, and I don't plan on it.
Have you ever seen Geely?
No.
So it's making the rounds again, like, stories of it. It's Ben Affleck and J-Lo, because they're dating again. I just read a summary and watched a couple YouTube videos. The worst movie with the most problematic plot. They spent so much money on it. It lost $1 billion. Worst movie ever. Fantastic Four, not that bad. Pretty bad. Sorry, go on. Bryn Forbes, flamethrower.
I'm going to look this up later.
It's G-I-G-L-I. Yeah. Geely is how it's pronounced, though, for some reason.
Whatever. I'm going to keep that in a separate tab.
Yeah.
Bryn Forbes. Yeah, he speaks for himself. He was so on fire tonight. So on fire. I was going to say hot, and then I was like, nah, Kevin Harlan already took that for me. but yeah, that is what Bryn Forbes brings to this team. We were questioning beforehand. Well, we were fielding questions about whether Bryn Forbes is going to be playable during these playoff runs, considering he has a reputation of being a bad defender in the postseason. Like, especially, like, given it's been fair in his time with the Spurs, he's been played off the floor because teams have hunted him. And credit to him, he's worked on it. He's defended Jimmy Butler. He's hung when he's had to switch. Like, he's fine with it. He's worked at his craft, and he's gotten better at it. Like, yeah, players are capable of doing that. Wild. Unlike Jimmy and Bam. but, yeah, Bryn Forbes was just great. And you're going to get these games. You're going to get these games from role players, and you have to capitalize on them. You really do. And the Bucks just completely fed into it, and that's the reason they won this game.
So, like, should you capitalize if you have a guy in Duncan Robinson who makes more threes than the other team? Is it the kind of game you should capitalize on?
You would think so. Is it possible to lose a game like that?
It's hard to say. We'll have to – ESPN Stats and Info, I'll have to do a deep dive. But Forbes, fantastic. Portis, fantastic. Taking my quick victory lap. I felt good about these signings. I thought they could make it work. Honestly, though, what I was wrong about, more credit to both of those guys on defense than even I, as a defender of both, gave them. They are both fighting and hanging in there and certainly doing well enough to justify what they bring on the other end. But I'd say even more than that. I think they've just been solid there. And I do think we could get to a place where one or both is going to have to play not against certain players or certain lineups. But so far, so great on the returns on Forbes and Portis. Really encouraging stuff.
For sure. Like, you were more sold than I was at the beginning of the off season, I remember. It took me some convincing, and it's really paid off.
This is the benefit of these specialists, man. Like, trying to find these bench players for cheap who are supposed to be able to do everything usually end up doing more close to nothing than everything. So get a guy get two guys who you know are just going to be snipers. That's what you needed around Giannis. It's here now. So now, like we talked about, defenses in this unenviable.
Yeah, snipers who can play defense.
Yeah, at least a little bit. But the sniping is almost more important. I mean, I know Korver was Korver, but they, like, survive on defense. What did you say?
Miritich.
He didn't make the shots.
That's true.
That's the difference. He didn't make the shots. Like, the sniping was so important. Like, survive on defense, fight, scrap, but open up that space, because then the defense, the other team's defense, is just in a no-win position of, like, if we sell out to stop Giannis, Bryn and Bobby and Chris and Drew and I guess Brooke Lopez and Pat, who was 5 for 9. Give quick shout out to Pat, who nearly shot as well as Print Forbes did from three. Great game for Pat Connaughton. He's Pat. He shot well tonight. It's good stuff, Pat. But all these shooters just knocking down trays, like, you can't guard Giannis and guard those guys with just a modicum of off-ball and play designs. And we're seeing all this now. Back to crediting Bud again. It's just been awesome so far.
It really has. Like, I can't see any way that Miami gets even a game in this series.
Maybe they can find someone else who's been on the couch all year and is ready to come in and contribute, like stud center Dwayne Dedman.
That's Udonis Haslam's music.
You know, I mentioned in the game one post game. I don't know, man. Precious Achiuwa might come in and be an issue guarding Giannis, and then Mamadi Diakite absolutely sunned him in garbage time. So I'm a little less worried about that one now.
That was an incredible block. Like, I was half paying attention at that point.
I couldn't believe they didn't whistle it because the way this game was going.
Yeah, I was like, I think even Mark Davis was like, yeah, let's just go home. Yeah, like, let's wrap this up here. But yeah, that was an incredible block. Blonde Bobbity, just incredible content. It's great all around. Like, we got to see Axel Tupan play in a playoff game against Miami.
He scored. Yeah. I think it was a putback.
It was, I believe.
One it was, three, Axel.
Yeah, Sam Merrill hit a three. Jordan Wara hit a three. Like,
Jordan Wara, 6 shots in 8 minutes. Never changed. Well, changed a little. Play some defense, but.
Yeah, just clean it up a bit, and then you'll have a spot next year. I can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do we need to cover from this game here?
I don't think we talked about Dante.
Yeah, for sure. Dante, shout out. Like, it wasn't the best offensive performance, and we should be used to that at this point, honestly.
We are.
However, just like Drew Holiday, maybe not just like Drew Holiday, but in the same style, like, he was playing phenomenal on ball, off ball defense. He was making smart cuts, smart reads, making sure if his defender's like not even on the court because they were running off of a miss, and then it's like, oh yeah, you get an offensive rebound because we're so much bigger than you. You can't just go cherry pick Duncan Robinson. I'm adding you. Dante is just gonna go and get a cut for an easy layup. Like, these sort of things happen when you're reading the game at a high level, and that's what Dante was doing. Even though he didn't have the best shooting performance, like I just mentioned, I thought he had a solid game. Like, props to Dante.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to knock down the shots in closer games for sure, so get out all the misses now. But encouraging that, you know, it looks bad 2 for 7, but he's 1 for 6 from deep, so he made his only 2. So whenever Dante is making shots within the paint, or at least making the ones he tries, that feels good. Because, you know, you can play a guy who's a shaky shooter. If he's not going to make layups, that's when things get really dicey for Dante. So he's been converting those looks, except when the officials take them away, like happened in game one for no reason. But 7 rebounds, some of the most loud, impactful rebounds. Like, he goes flying through the air. It's like on 2K when, like, the CPU will do the follow-up dunk animation that never actually does anything. That's Dante flying in to grab contested rebounds. But he actually gets them a lot of the time. 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 turnovers. Just 5 points, but a solid Dante game where he did make an all-around impact. Hopefully next time out, the shots are falling a little bit.
For sure. There's only positive shooting regressions to come for the players who probably need it the most, and that's Drew Holiday and Dante DiVincenzo. Even Chris Middleton, like, if you shoot more, that'd be great. Like, do it. Like, we know you can. No one on this Heat team can guard you, realistically. Yeah. Like, I think the only person that maybe can is Jimmy, and that's because he'll just follow you.
And there's not enough Jimmy to go around, which is the fundamental issue for Miami.
Jimmy can't guard Chris, Giannis, and stay with Drew while following around and helping off of Dante and Brooke. Like, he can't do all of that at once.
Well, maybe he can because he's not using a lot of energy on the offensive end.
That's true. No, he's using all of his energy to go drive to the rim and then throw it out of bounds.
And to organize games between the third stringers and the starters for after the real games end. Yeah. Got to get psyched for that next location change.
It's okay. The Heat promised him a title, though.
Well, luckily, 47-year-old Kyle Lowry is potentially on the way. So, and Kawhi's going to pretend like he's interested before doing something inexplicable. So, yeah, things are looking great in Miami. But I think unless you had anything last-minute stuff, I just wanted to, before we get ready to sign off here, just say if this is the first time listening to the Eurostep Podcast Network, this is the Eurostep. We also have Win in Six Podcast, and they're actually doing a mailbag show tomorrow, probably today as you're hearing this. So at Win in Six, the numeral podcast on Twitter, send them some questions. Definitely.
Send them questions involving Adam trying to retract his Bobby Portis takes and tell them Ty sent you.
Rohan always going to be blamed for his pod takes. Ask Adam and Jordan about Bobby Portis and all other Bucks things too. I've seen some of the questions roll in. They got some good ones. It's going to be a great episode. I can't wait to check it out. But because of the Eurostep Podcast Network being formed, this podcast and that podcast call This One Feed Home. So if you're listening to this, make sure you are subscribed. And if you want to go above and beyond, be a GSPN OG. Go on Apple.
Eurostep Podcast Network, by the way. Apparently, yes, yes. That's tough to realize.
Are you taking shots in this pod? At everyone. Shots at all sides from Rohan Kadi.
See, you're making it seem like shots because they don't know about them.
Yeah, that's true. Regardless, review on Apple. Even if you don't use Apple, grab someone's Apple device real quick. Search up Eurostep Podcast Network, 5-star rating and review. And if you're listening for the first time, thank you. We appreciate it. Hit subscribe on that podcast platform. Take in the work a little bit more. Be awed by all the great content. And then next time we call for reviews, then maybe you'll be comfortable with doing that too. Or do it now. Who can say?
Do it right now. You have 5 seconds to subscribe.
This podcast is going to self-destruct.
4, 3, 2, 1. Make sure you're subscribed. That's a YouTube joke if you guys don't understand. Ty, you just perfectly did the outro here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you do everything Ty just said. Check out all of the content across the entire Blue Wire Podcast Network. Stay safe, everyone. Go Bucks. Enjoy this victory, everyone. And we will talk to you next time.